Let me preface this. When I was growing up, which is probably longer ago than either one of us care to remember, I thought you were great. You were one of my favorite players. Back in the, honestly, you were in Boston, I guess, then, back in the early 50s. I tried to check on your record each day in the newspaper. Sometimes I missed it, but I followed it very closely. Mm-hmm. You signed with the Atlanta Crackers, is that right?
Yeah, right.
And that was... They played pretty tough baseball back then.
They called that the Southern League in those days.
And you stepped right into the lineup at, what, 18 or 19? 19, I guess it was, wasn't it?
And yeah, I went to Atlanta. I guess I was, around that.
And two real good years. Did the Giants buy you from there or trade for you? How'd they acquire you?
Well, when I left Atlanta, I was going to go to... Brooklyn Dodgers were trying to buy me,
mm-hmm.
and I think the war years were coming, the war was coming on, so they changed their mind, decided they wouldn't take me, and then the Giants stepped in and they took me.
And you, if I remember the story right, I've read it, you really impressed Mel Ott in spring training.
Oh yeah, I had a very good spring training with the Giants. Couldn't have done any better.
You were a center fielder then, is that right?
Well, I played center on the left. Either one.
Now, when the season started, the pitching kind of caught up with you, but you came around and were eventually selected for the All-Star game.
Yes, I was.
How was that? Was that a pretty big thrill for a 21-year-old rookie?
Certainly was. How
were you doing at the time of the All-Star game? From what I was barely born.
I don't really remember now. The year started out very good. It didn't last the whole year. Kind of tapered off. But at the All-Star game, I guess I was doing fairly good.
You must have been to be picked. You didn't start. Who were the starting outfielders, do you remember?
With the Giants?
With at the All-Star game.
Oh, in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. Wish I could tell you. I don't even remember.
I've got it in one of the books here, I think. Pretty tough company, though.
Yeah. There's some good ball players around in there, boy.
You went in the Marine Corps the next year.
Right.
Were you drafted or did you enlist?
No, I enlisted.
Did you play ball in the service?
Yes, well, a little bit, not too much, but some.
Did you see any action overseas?
No. When I went over, I was over about a year, and it ended.
Oh, that's good. And you came back and stepped right back into the starting lineup.
Right.
And we're just a good, solid outfielder. 1947. That was the biggest home run year any team ever had up to that point, and is still a record for the 154-game schedule. A lot of guys on the team had their best years ever. You did, and Mize, and Cooper, and Rigney. Why did everybody hit so many home runs that year? You tripled and quadrupled the other teams in the league for the most part.
I wish I could tell you why. I don't know. Just one of those years, and everybody was hitting home runs. I don't know why.
You had to hit them to stay in the games. Your pitching staff wasn't real swift that year.
That's true.
Is there any particular home run or home runs from that season that you remember?
I think it's 47, the only thing I can remember in 47, really outstanding, within three home runs in one ball game. All I can remember outstanding, not outstanding nights, but you don't remember them.
Sure. Who'd you hit the three home runs against?
I think it was against Cincinnati.
You remember the pitchers?
No, I don't. And you know, it's a funny thing. We looked it up not too long ago. A guy who looked it up was telling me who they were. But I don't remember who they were now.
That was the only time you hit over 20 home runs in a season, wasn't it?
Yes.
Were you just in a groove that lasted all season long?
Say, what?
Pardon me?
What'd you say?
Were you just in a groove that lasted all season long?
I guess so. I can never figure out why I couldn't do it again, but didn't.
That was a great year, and 107 or something like 107 RBIs.
Right. Yeah, it was a good year. It was a fantastic year.
You played in the All-Star game two more times. Was that one of the years?
Yeah, it was 47.
And 49, was it?
42, 47, and 49.
You started one of those years. Which year was that, do you recall? Didn't you start, I guess it was 49?
It had to have been 47, I guess.
Was it 47? After 49, the Giants traded you. It was a big trade. It actually probably brought them a pennant. How did you feel?
Well, I don't know. I guess when you play baseball, you feel it could happen at any time. It doesn't bother you too much. Once you move, you get used to it. Baseball is baseball, regardless of where you are.
Yeah.
I hate to leave, but there was nothing to do about it.
No, not then. Today, I guess it's a whole different ball game.
Oh, yeah.
How did you like playing in Boston?
I enjoyed it. Boston's a good town.
Yeah, it always seemed to be a good baseball town. The Braves never really seemed to cut it there, but...
No, they never, really never had. Well, it was a 48 they won the pennant.
Yeah.
But they didn't draw too good crowds.
Well, you had a... This may not be true, but I think it was the first year an outfielder ever went the full season without making an error in 1951.
No, that was another guy, Danny Litwine.
That's right. You're right. Yeah. Just before that. Yeah. You were a right fielder at that point. Is that correct?
Yeah, mostly.
You had a reputation of being a little slow-footed, but having a heck of a strong arm and very sure hands.
Right.
Were you as sure-handed as the stories say nowadays?
Well, I always say if I could get to it, I could catch it. And I could hold on to it, I didn't have trouble holding on to the ball.
Now, your arm must have been good, because I think you led the league in assists once or twice and in double plays once or twice. Did you ever play anywhere else but the outfield?
Not in the major leagues. They tried me at the end when I was ending up. They wanted me. They tried me at third, and they tried me at first. Paul Richards was with the White Sox. But I didn't play much, a couple games.
Which one? At both?
Yeah, third about a couple games, and first a couple games.
Do you remember, I asked you about a big game in 47, it's anywhere in your career, is there one game that stands out in your memory as being a particularly exciting game or one that was particularly good for you?
Well, not necessarily. I think it's, a game like the All-Star game, the first ball game you play when you go to the majors or a new ballpark, they're all very special.
Do you remember your first game with the Giants?
Yes, very well.
How did you do in that one?
Well, I don't know what I did, no, but I remember being very excited.
I bet. Who was the, what did you play? You were in the majors for what, about 11 or 12 years, weren't you?
Yeah, I would have been 42, and my last year was 55.
Yeah, with a couple of years out. Who was the best hitter, or just best overall player that you played with or against in all that time?
Well, I guess a guy that I always was very enthused with and always admired very much was Stan Musial.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say for 4 or 5 years, probably the best ball player, in my opinion, was Robinson. I don't think there was anybody any better than him for 4 or 5 years.
You know, somebody, I don't remember who it was, somebody I just interviewed about maybe a month ago said the same thing. For a 5-year period, he was probably the best ball player he ever saw, he said.
Yeah, I think so.
What, the first 5 years?
Beg your pardon?
The first 5 years? Robinson's first 5 years, you think?
Oh, yes, sure.
What was the feelings? You were on the Giants when he came over. What were the feelings at the time of the integration?
It was that feeling that today some of that food.
Oh, sure.
But he sure put up with it. He became one heck of a dog.
Yeah, he sure did. It takes a special man to put up with what he had to put up with. What were the feelings, general feelings, don't name any names, among your teammates about him?
Well, on that team, it wasn't too bad. There's a couple Southerners. I was a Southerner myself, but I never felt held any grudges. I felt the way some of them did. But there was two or three of them that, even Brooklyn himself, I think it was Dixon Walker that had a lot to say about him coming into the league.
Mm-hmm.
I remember two or three of the guys had things to say, but never anything came from it.
No big incidents?
No.
Yeah, you still have a Southern accent.
Yeah.
You're from Virginia, is that right?
Yeah, Richmond.
When I first got out of college many years ago, I worked in Virginia, up in the Warrenton area. It was really pretty country.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the best pitcher you think you saw in your career?
Well, I think for me, left-handed, I'd have to take Warren Spahn, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And right-handed, Carl Erskine from the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. He was good for a couple years there.
Sure was.
Who was there any pitcher that was particularly easy for you?
Well, none of them were easy, but I guess I hit Blackwell with Cincinnati as well as anybody.
Yeah, you got a good look at that sidearm of his.
Yeah.
Most of the nationally right-handed batters I've talked to from your time of playing, named Blackwell was the toughest one on them.
Yeah, he was tough for right-handed, there's no question about it.
Yeah, I guess he could have been anything if he could have stayed healthy.
Yeah, too bad.
Well, it's been a half a century since you started playing professional baseball.
Yeah.
And there've been a whole lot of changes. What do you think? What's the major change in your opinion?
Well, the major change is, I don't know what you said. Everything has changed, not only baseball, but through the years, everything has changed. I guess almost everything in baseball has changed somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still baseball and still played the same way.
No, you still got to put the bat and the ball in the same place at the same time. That's true.
You got to get it right.
Well, what about you ended up in the American League for what, your last 2 years or year and a half?
Yes, yeah.
If you were there today, you'd probably be a DH, wouldn't you?
Probably.
What do you think of the DH?
Well, I don't know. I prefer it the other way, without the DH.
Good.
I think it takes something away from the game. The game wasn't meant to be played that way. I think it's better the way we had it. The pitcher have to hit.
Mm-hmm. Some of the pitchers can hit, and some of them have to learn to hit. Nowadays, some of the boys never have to learn to hit.
That's right. You never have to hit, watch. You have to learn how.
I'm glad to hear that. A lot of guys like it, but I guess it does add a little excitement, but certainly takes away from the game.
Yeah, the managers, you don't have to maneuver the players like you did with the pitcher coming up. You had to do a little more thinking, I think.
Uh-huh.
You got Desmond Hunter, it's just another good guy coming up. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Take the pitcher out.
A pitcher I talked to a little while ago said that was Walt Masterson said when he played that the 7, 8, 9 batters belonged to him. That was one series of three outs that he planned on getting. Nowadays they can't do that. They may have two guys they can get, but there's still going to be an extra bat in the lineup.
Yeah.
In your career, did you collect souvenirs and mementos along the way?
Not too much.
I didn't save balls or bats or...
Well, I have some bats and balls and gloves and other stuff that I had during my playing career. I have some of that stuff around, you know. In fact, I just got an old glove today. I was looking for it for a long time. I found it today. My father-in-law found it that I had during those years. I think it's the same glove I used when I fielded towards 1,000.
No, no kidding.
Yeah, because last month I was invited down to Portsmouth, Virginia, and they inducted me into the Hall of Fame of Virginia, Virginia Hall of Fame.
Oh, great.
So at that time, they asked me if I had a bat or a glove or a uniform or something they could put in the museum. And I was looking for some stuff, and I found it. So yeah, some of the stuff is still around. It's just a matter of finding it.
It's not anything you keep organized and keep track of?
No, no. Just stuff that I kept.
Okay, well, that's good. That's a great thing to have, too, that glove. But that was a favorite for a while.
I'm going to send it down to Portsmouth, I think, along with my old giant uniform and a bat and a couple things. They're going to put it in a... You've never been to Portsmouth, see that museum they have down there?
No, I haven't. I've heard of it, and I would love to go see it sometime.
You have it down there, take a look at it. It's very interesting.
Well, I think I will now that I go see your glove. I mean, that's something worth the effort right there.
Yeah. Well, it's really, I never had been there myself. And I was very, my wife still talks about it. She's got a kick out of going through it and looking at the thing.
Well, that's good. Yeah, a friend of mine, the fellow I worked for, I'm a veterinarian. I worked for another veterinarian. I got out of school, and he told me about it. He said, that's a place that when we get some time, we ought to go see. And instead, I ended up going to Kentucky and never got there, but it's been recommended.
Yeah, it's nice. It's worth your time. That's two or three museums. I went through the Navy Museum. They got a lot of interesting stuff right along out of Gubba.
My brother told me the Navy, this was before the other museum was there, I guess. It was many years ago. He said the Navy Museum is really interesting. He was in the Navy, but he went through it, and he said it's just really, really interesting. It gives a good history of everything.
Sure does.
That's a nice part of the country, anyhow. I kind of sometimes wish I'd stayed in Virginia instead of coming here. What did you do when you left baseball?
Well, when I left baseball, I went to work. I was scouting with the Giants for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to work in the real estate business with my father-in-law. Then I went to work for the town of Fort Lee. So I worked on with them for 25 years. And now for 1 year and a half, I'm retired.
How do you like it?
Very much.
Good. Too many people complain about it. I'm glad to hear some people like it.
No, I'm enjoying every minute.
You have kids?
I have two grown girls, and I have four grandchildren.
Are they close by?
Yes.
That's
20 miles.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's a shame when they start spreading out. Did you sign anybody of note when you were a scout?
The only one that I signed I thought was going to go all the way was John Orsino, the catcher.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was going to make it.
He was there, just didn't stay.
That's right. He's kind of a hot-headed kid. I think I ruined him. But he looked good at the time.
I remember him. He looked like he was going to make it. I didn't realize he was hot-headed. That doesn't help anything.
Yeah, he was one great-looking ball player for that spring training when we took him to Florida. Well, he looked fantastic. I didn't think he could miss. And he didn't. He made it all right.
Yeah, just didn't. Well, he was there, what, 5-6 years, wasn't he?
Yeah, he played two or three different clubs.
Yeah.
He hurt his arm a little.
That's a bad position to have a sore arm.
Yeah.
Do you get much fan mail nowadays?
Well, I get one or two letters. Oh, maybe. I guess I average about one a day.
Mm-hmm. That adds up after a few months, doesn't it?
Come faster now than it did a few years ago. I don't know why.
It's a big thing right now. Autograph collecting. Is this what they are? Requests for autographs?
A lot of guys won't. I understand. Like a lot of fellas around won't sign them. I don't know. Understand that.
The publication this will appear in is called Sports Collectors Digest, and it's basically geared to about the baseball card collectors really, but to anything in the way of sports memorabilia, and letters in there and stories about kids asking the guy for an autograph and getting snubbed or shouted at. Or
I can't understand it. I never will understand. Guys making more money than they ever made in their life, and they won't sign an autograph. And I was told, well, you should get paid to sign your autographs. And all that. I said, what the heck? You kidding me? When I get them, I sign them and send them back.
That's great. What about baseball card shows? Have you ever been approached about those?
I've been to a couple.
What do you think of those?
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that too much. A guy wants to pay you a couple bucks to sign a few pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind doing that.
This is the only way a lot of guys will sign those, if they're there.
Yeah, but I sign them anytime I get them.
That's good. That's a great attitude. Did you get, when you were active, did you get many requests for autographs then?
Yeah, well, you know, you could sit down and write all day if you wanted to, but I didn't pass up many chances. When I had a chance to sign them, I signed them.
That's good.
But there was time when they over, you know, you had things you had to do. You couldn't stop and sit down with them all the time, but I always liked to give the kids whatever they wanted. But they didn't, you know, you didn't have as much of it then as you do now.
No, it's almost, well, I guess it is business now.
Well, strictly. It's unbelievable. You go to those card shows, you can't believe what goes on at those
things. Now, up in your neck of the woods, they have big card shows.
Yeah, you know, I hear these guys talking about these guys are getting, like, mines, and those guys that bring them around here, they're getting, like, $2,500 and all that foolishness. It's almost unbelievable.
It's hard to imagine. They advertise, you know, you've got to pay, I don't know, $30 or $40 for somebody like DiMaggio or Williams.
Yeah.
Just didn't stand in line for 2 hours.
They had some pictures. The last one I was at about a month or so ago, they had Bobby Thompson and Don Mueller and myself and Sal Levars.
Uh-huh.
Together. And they had pictures there that we get $20 for.
Oh, my goodness.
You know. Right, I could see it was Bobby Thompson, maybe, but not for me or someone. But they were real, you know, real nice pictures the way they made them up.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, it's. I guess somebody's making money off of it.
They have to be.
It's. I don't know. It will have to peak out eventually. I think it's kind of sad that it gets like this.
I think it is when a kid has to pay $20 to get a picture that he'd like to. He's got one he'd like to have a sign. And I'd say, then, well, you give me $20 or $10 or whatever, and I'll sign it. I think that's obscene. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
To ask a kid for money like that. But today, the kids don't, and the fathers don't mind shelling out for these kids. I can't believe that they would even do it for them. For me to ask a guy, give me $5 to sign an autograph, I could never do that.
There's a story around here. I'm in Lexington, which is about 60 miles south of Cincinnati, so I guess the home team here is the Reds, if there is a home team.
Yeah, I played for the Reds a couple of years.
Yeah, you did. That was who'd they get for you? They
didn't get anybody.
Oh, they sold you, didn't they?
They sold me to the White Sox.
Yeah, no, but Boston sold you to Cincinnati, didn't they? Was that a trade?
Boston sold me to Cincinnati. Yeah.
You had a good year with Cincinnati, didn't you?
Well, not good. First year I had a little luck, not much.
I thought you had your second best home run year with Cincinnati and very few at-bats. Let me find the book here. I think didn't you have 17 or 18 home runs and like 300 at bats or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that was the year before you went to Chicago. Anyhow, what I was going to say, Pete Rose was, and this won't be in the article when I write it, but he was at a restaurant and a kid approached him, and he was leaving the restaurant, and a kid approached him, and he said, yeah, I'll sign your autograph. Give me $7.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's very private man.
Yes, I guess so.
I guess whatever he's gonna, I haven't felt sorry for him at all, because he really, from what I've read and seen of him, he's not a very sociable, very nice guy to the kids.
That's what I hear, and I agree with that. I don't feel sorry for him. I've got an 18-year-old son who plays baseball, and his coach has a boy that is a senior in college, and he was to write a paper for one of his courses on gambling and sports, so he went to the National Baseball Library in Cooperstown to try to get as much information as he could, and they let him see as much information as they had on Rose's gambling activities, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. That's neither here nor there. That's off. That's,
while he was getting investigated, he didn't seem to bother him at all. He just kept doing things.
Yeah, I guess.
I understand. He didn't help himself at all.
He's a funny fella. I don't think there's any question about his guilt. Maybe I'm wrong. But
no, I don't think so. I don't think you're wrong.
It's a shame, too, because he had the world by the tail.
Certainly did.
Let me ask you one more question, Will. This is a question that I've asked everybody I've ever talked to, and I've gotten the same answer, but I'll ask you again. If you went back 50 years ago, would you do this all again?
I certainly would.
Nobody's ever said anything different. Is there anything you'd do differently?
I don't know. I don't think so. What could you do different except play the game the best you know how and try to be a nice guy and try to be sociable and play the game?
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it. I enjoyed every minute of it.
That's great. You'd start off the same way, you'd end up the same way, you think?
Well, I'd start off the same way. I would hope I could, but I don't know. I had a pretty good career for an old country boy.
Oh, you had a good career, darn tune you did. No question about that. What was your top salary?
Oh, I think my top salary was around 20-some thousand.
What? Correctly. With Chicago? Or?
No, with the top salaries with the Braves.
So today, what would that be? 800,000?
I don't know. Today you can't put in the limit on anything. Today, between the television and everything in the world today, everything's going crazy.
Oh, hadn't it?
How in the world can you picture a guy making $4 million a year playing a baseball game? Went to television, he's coming along at a great time in his young life.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But you know, if the money wasn't there, they wouldn't pay it, so.
That's right. That's right. They're figuring making so much money, they got to give it up the same way, so we'll give it to him, I guess.
Yeah. Makes for good stories. I wish I could make that kind of money doing something.
If I asked me, sir, would you like to play for that kind of money? I said, I'll play for half.
Yeah.
Give me that much.
Well, I have said many times, these guys getting $3 million, they want to give me 1/10 of that. I guarantee you, I'll go out and produce 1/10 what they produced. It's scary.
It is scary, you know, and it's, what's scary about it is the rate it's going, to get worse.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very hard to believe.
Somebody will probably hit $5 million here in another year or so.
Oh, sure. Has to. It keeps going like it's going.
I guess more power to them.
I wish someone could pull it back into the right line or right lane, but it's not just baseball, it's everything.
Yes.
A man that's a good engineer, anything else, is making top money today.
Yeah, but if he's an engineer, he's got to be a good engineer to get it. There's some baseball players that aren't necessarily that good baseball players.
You see a lot of ball players. I don't keep up with it like I did a few years ago, but a few years ago I saw guys hitting 250 or 220 and driving in 15 runs, hitting 4 or 5 home runs, and they were asking for $1 million.
Mm-hmm. They're still trying it.
And they got it. They got turned down. They went to arbitration, and some of them got to what they were looking for, which I couldn't understand.
But still, you know, the team offers them $400,000. They ask for $600,000. They can't lose, no matter what arbitration decides.
No way. gets a little bit more than they know. If it didn't, they haven't lost a thing. You're right.
Yeah, it's great. I guess it's great. I like, excuse me, the envelope came back with the I Love America sticker. That right there shows a great attitude. The envelope you sent back to me.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that attitude.
Send a little few bucks to the disabled veterans and whatever I can help with, I'd usually help.
That's good. That's really great. Ward, I really appreciate your time. I've enjoyed this. Like I said,
I appreciate you calling and talking to me.
Longer ago than I want to admit to, I had Willard Marshall baseball cards and thought you were something.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and I hope you'll stay well.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I hope everything goes well with you. Would you like a copy of this when it appears?
Well, I certainly would.
Okay. Would you like more than one? You want some for the grandkids or anything?
Well, I think send me a couple, two or three of them. I appreciate it.
Okay. I don't know when it'll be. I send in three or four interviews a month, and they appear anywhere from 5 or 6 weeks after I submit them to sometimes as much as